Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Just before we begin, just a few rules for the students. Whoever's reciting, whoever's speaking, it's important that we pay attention. Just like when we're speaking, we put effort into our work and we see someone talking, we see someone's not listening to us, we feel sad. So same way, everyone who's done something today, they put an effort in. So it's very important, all the children, my class, Uthman's class, it's very important that you pay attention. Don't look around, don't talk with your friends. Make sure you full attention towards whoever's speaking. Especially when Mawlana Ayaz comes, the guest speaker. I don't want to see anyone looking at the ceiling, talking towards each other, nothing like that. Make sure you're paying full attention to the speaker. Understand? Understand? No speaking, nothing. Mubarak, understand? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulih al-Ameen. Amma ba'd. Faqad qala Allahu ta'ala fi kitabih ba'da a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Iqra' bismi rabbikal ladhi khalaq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to begin by thanking all the parents, all of those brothers and sisters that came to the masjid. By coming here, you're showing that you're giving importance to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many a times, we fail to understand and we don't fully realize how much effort our children put in to madrasa, to maktab. Many of our children, they go to non-Muslim schools, they go to state schools. And many times, those people in state schools, after school, they have clubs, they have football clubs, they have after-school clubs. And yet still our children, they come to madrasa. They sacrifice all of this to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, it is important for us to recognize the efforts after all of these sacrifices. And we all know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ, that no one gathers in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which the Qur'an is being recited, in which knowledge is being imparted, except, as the hadith says, نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ, except that mercy descends on this gathering. The angels are in this gathering. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He boasts about this gathering to His angels. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in this masjid, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should come with the right intention that we're coming, that this is a very important jalsa, just as when we go to school, when you go to college, when you go to university, as a graduation, we make a point to attend. Similarly, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered us. So inshallah, we'll begin the program with Izan from the Nadra class reciting some Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ياسين والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون إنا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مقمحون وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون وسواء عليهم أنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشره بمغفرة وأجر كريم إنا نحن نحيي الموتى ونكتب ما قدموا وآثارهم وكل شيء أحصيناهم في إمام مبين واضرب لهم مثلا أصحاب القرية إذ جاءها المرسلون إذ أرسلنا إليهم اثنين فكذبوهما فعززنا بثالث فقالوا إنا إليكم مرسلون صدق الله العظيم.
Jazakallah khair to Izan for reciting Surah Yasin. MashaAllah, Izan is in year 5 and he's memorized Surah Yasin. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. Year 6? Or year 4, mashaAllah. Year 3? Year 3, mashaAllah. And he's just memorized Surah Yasin. And this is one of the miracles of the Quran, that a person, a child, in year 3, he understands nothing of the Arabic language. Nothing. And yet still, he can memorize portions of the Quran. And this is something you'll only find in the Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed his miracle only in the Quran. In this surah, in Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about the creation. He talks about the sun. He talks about the moon. He talks about the stars. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives us time to reflect upon his creation. And after all of this reflection, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives an indication that now it's time for me and you to go in search of knowledge, whether it's Islamic knowledge, whether it's secular knowledge. And Islam, it doesn't go against seeking secular knowledge. In Islam, we're encouraged to go to college, to go to university, to study the worldly sciences also. If we look in Islamic history, just for a few hundred years ago, we can see in our own history, many, many things were from Islam. For example, Ibn Sina, he wrote a medical journal, and this is still used in universities today. They still use his works today. We see algebra. It was made from a book called Al-Jabr, and this was authored by Al-Khawarizmi. He was also a Muslim. Ibn Haytham, all of these people, Ibn Haytham, he was a pioneer in optical vision. So all of these people were Muslims. All of these sciences were taken from Muslims. So Islam, it never discourages us from pursuing worldly sciences. However, at the same time, these sciences shouldn't come at the expense of our religion. Many a times it's unfortunate that a child, he'll enter the maktab, he'll enter the madrasa at the age of 4 or 5 years old. He'll study. And then the time for his GCSEs come. 15, 16 years old, this child will leave. And after he leaves, until the time of his death, there is no increase in his Islamic education. Why? Because all they're worried about is the dunya. I'm not saying don't pursue the dunya. I'm saying that we should pursue the dunya. But at the same time, we should give importance to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many of us parents also, maybe we learned something in madrasa, in maktab when we were 15, 16. And after this, we should ask ourselves, that is there anything new I've learnt about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there any increase in my religion of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is something for us to think about, that even I'm speaking to students as well, when we leave madrasa 15, 16 years old, this shouldn't be the final thing we learnt about Islam. Rather, we should, along with our sciences, along with our college, along with our university, we should try and maybe study the Quran, may try and attend the durus of the ulama, especially in this masjid, wherever it may be. Next, inshallah, I'd like to call upon Zayan Amin to talk about the importance of madrasa.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected teachers, dear parents and my friends, today I want to talk about something that's very important to all of us. How can we make madrasa even better? First of all, I want to say thank you to all our teachers. They teach us the Quran, du'as, story of the prophets, and how to be good Muslims. May Allah reward them all. Ameen. But even though madrasa is great, there's always a way to make it even better. Number one, give madrasa the same importance as school. Let's be honest, sometimes after school we feel tired and lazy. We think, I've already done school all day, why do I have to go to madrasa too? But we have to remember that madrasa is just as important as school. At school we learn maths, English, science, which is good. But in madrasa we learn about Allah, Jannah and the Quran, and how to live a good life. That knowledge will help us in this world and in the hereafter. So we should try our best to come to madrasa with energy and excitement, just like we go to school. Number two, come on time and every day. Sometimes we're late or we miss a day because we feel lazy, but every day in madrasa is important. If you miss a day, it's like missing a brick when building a wall. Our wall becomes weak. So let's all try to come on time every day, inshallah. Number three, listen carefully and join in. Sometimes we're sitting in class but our brain is somewhere else. Think about football, games or food. I know, it happens to me too. But madrasa becomes better if we listen carefully and join in on lessons. If you don't understand something, you should ask our teacher. Remember, our teachers love it when we ask questions. Number four, respect our teachers and each other. Our teachers work hard for us, so we should listen to them and not talk back, and never make fun of anyone. Sometimes someone struggles to read the Quran. Instead of laughing, we should help them. That way, madrasa feels like a big happy family. Number five, keep madrasa clean. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, cleanliness is half of faith. Let's keep our madrasa clean. No throwing paper, wrappers or tissue on the floor. Let's respect the Quran and the Islamic books and keep our class tidy. A clean madrasa makes it feel nice and peaceful. Number six, practice at home. Learning doesn't stop when madrasa finishes. If we don't practice at home, we forget. Even 10 minutes a day of reading Quran, du'as or revising our lesson helps a lot. Remember, a little every day is better than a lot once in a while. Number seven, bring new ideas. Madrasa can be even more fun if we share new ideas. Maybe we can have quizzes about Islam, story competitions, nasheed singing, small charity projects, Islamic games. If we share our ideas with the teachers, they might make them happen. So my dear friends, let's remember that madrasa is just as important as school. It teaches us how to please Allah and become good Muslims. Let's work together to make it the best it can be. May Allah help us and improve, become shining stars of Islam. Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan for listening.
Jazakallah khair to Zayan. MashaAllah, he made some very important points upon the importance of madrasa, the importance of learning the Qur'an. Many a times we fail to understand the value of madrasa and the value of learning the Qur'an. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ, that seeking Islamic knowledge is an obligation upon every single Muslim. Today we have no excuse. The coming to the madrasa is one avenue of fulfilling this obligation, that we come and we learn about the Qur'an, we learn about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only time we'll understand this value is when it's taken away from us. In the month of Ramadan, I was in Australia for Taraweeh. And in Australia, is a big Muslim community. And yet still, the area I was in, there was not a single madrasa. There was masjids, but there was no madrasa. There was no evening classes. And the impact, you can see it in the children. Many, many of the children, they're into drugs. Many of the children, they struggle to stay in the deen. Many of the adults, because they didn't grow up in the environment of madrasa, many, many adults used to come to me and used to ask that for the past 20, 30 years, I've never given my zakah. Why? Because growing up, no one taught me these things. So this madrasa, we need to understand its value. And one of the ways we can understand its value is by giving importance to it. Now as parents, we should ask ourselves honestly and ask ourselves this honest question, that do we give madrasa the same importance as school? When it comes to school, we make sure that our children are there on time. If they're not there on time, we know what happens. They'll get detention. So we make sure they're on time. We make sure that we are up to date with their studies. we'll ask the teachers that their grades, if their grades drop, then we'll go to the school, we'll ask the teachers. If they're still struggling, we'll ask for tuition. All of these things we'll do for the school. And yet, we should ask ourselves honestly, as parents, we should ask ourselves, that do we give even the slightest importance to madrasa? Many, many students will come to class and they never ever go through their Quran at home. They won't go through their sabak at home. Their parents won't have a clue where they are in the Quran. And this is something which the Prophet ﷺ warned us of. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ala kullukum ra'in," that all of you are like shepherds. "Wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi," all of you will be questioned regarding his flock. I.e., whoever you're responsible for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question you regarding this. If we gave no importance to madrasa growing up, we didn't care if our children learned the sabak, we didn't care if our children knew the Quran, and these children grow up and they're not on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can't recite the Quran, they can't do all of these things, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us to account. So it's important that from today on, we ensure that we at least know where our child is in the Quran, in their books, all of these things daily. Just as we ensure that our children do their school homework, we should make sure that our children are up to date with their madrasa homework. We should contact the teachers if we have any concerns. So pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the correct understanding. Next, I'd like to call upon Hamza Salim to recite some Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فوسطن به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد وإنه لحب الخير لشديد أفلا يعلم إذا بعثر ما في القبور وحصل ما في الصدور إن ربه بهم يومئذ لخبير صدق الله العظيم.
InshaAllah, JazakAllah khair to Hamza for his recitation of Quran. In this surah, many of us recite it daily. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Which one did you recite? وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا. Many of us recite these surahs daily. And we should try and understand these surahs, especially the ones we recite daily. At the end of the day, we go to work, we go to college, we go to university, we learn everything. The only thing we don't get time to learn is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of these surahs we recite daily, day in, day out, to recite these surahs, we should try and maybe understand the meaning. In this masjid also, every Saturday, after Asr Salah, after the Maghrib Salah, they have the notes of the Qur'an, lessons of the Qur'an. So we should try and attend these gatherings. And as adults also, we should try and make sure that all of these surahs ourselves, we know them up to date. Many a times we see in the masjids that the only people we see in the masjid are those who are old. And we know how the Qur'an is at times. I'm not saying all of them. So from, as adults, we should try that if our Qur'an is not up to date, then we should try and come to the masjid and correct our Qur'an also. Next, I'd like to call upon Sulaiman to say a poem.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today I am gonna recite a poem. Allah knows, Allah hears, Allah sees. Allah knows what you hide. Allah hears what you say. Allah sees what you do. Allah knows, Allah hears, Allah sees. Allah knows when you cheat. Allah hears when you swear. Allah sees when you fight. Allah knows, Allah hears, Allah sees. Allah knows what you hide. Allah hears all your pleas. Allah sees all your deeds. Allah knows, Allah hears, Allah sees. JazakAllah khairan.
Jazakallah khair to Sulaiman. Inshallah, his poem, in it he spoke about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The summer holidays are coming up, and as we all know, in the summer holidays, we're all going to have, all of a sudden, a lot of free time. From Saturday onwards, we won't have any madrasa for the next month or two. We'll be off. So it's very easy to fall into sin in these holidays. So, as Sulaiman mentioned, that one principle we can apply by, we can live by, is, as the Prophet ﷺ said, and as Sulaiman just mentioned, that Allah hears, Allah sees. Prophet ﷺ was once questioned, "Mal ihsan?" What is ihsan? Al ihsan, an ta'bud Allah ka annaka tarah, is that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ tarah, if you cannot do that much, فَإِنَّهُ yarak, then just know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. This last bit we should take on board, that we're in the holidays, our parents aren't home, our parents are working, we're home alone, and we have our phones, and we have the opportunity to do any haram. We can listen to music, we can look at haram. Yet, what stops us? أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. You just know that even though my parents aren't here, even though no one's home, I'm in my room, the door's closed, no one can check anything, you just know what stops you. فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. You just know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. So we should live by this principle, that whatever we do in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always looking over us, whether our parents are there or not, talking to the children especially. Nowadays we have mobile phones, we can do it very easily. So we should just remember this much, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching us. Next, inshallah, I'd like to call upon Ibrahim to recite some Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خير يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شر يره. صدق الله العظيم.
JazakAllah khair to Ibrahim. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions regarding qiyamah, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا, when the earth will shake violently, وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. All of these are the scenes of the day of qiyamah. And this is something that when we read, it should send a shiver down our spine regarding the ahwal of the day of qiyamah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Whoever does even an atom's weight of good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَيْرًا يَرَى. He will see the good of it. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whoever does an atom's weight of bad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show him this also. So, the lesson in this is that we should never ever regard any deed of ours as small. Anything we do. This is why we should try and do as many good actions as possible. The holidays are coming up. We're at home. We can help our parents at home. We should never think that my sibling isn't doing it. Why should I do it? We should help our parents. You never know. This could be the one act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. So in the holidays, we should never ever look down upon any small action. Today, for example, we all came in the masjid. On the way to the masjid, we could have recited the dua. Entering the masjid, we could have recited the dua, Allahumma aftahli abwaab rahmatik. We're all going to leave the masjid, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlika wa rahmatik. All of these things, we think of as small. But in reality, we never know. Through this one action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would enter us into Jannah. Next, I'd like to call upon Zayan Alam to recite an nasheed.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Today I will be reciting a nasheed for the love of Medina.
Sasali shoqa ya habibi layk, fadali chung bis salati alayk. Tarak nuhi hubba fil manadi layk, wa ma kulli qurba sayyidi labbayk. قلبي في المدينة وجد السكينة قال يا نبينا السلام عليك قلبي في المدينة وجد السكينة محمد نبينا السلام عليك صلوات الله وسلامه عليك يا رسول الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليك يا حبيب الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليك يا رسول الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليك يا حبيب الله رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله حبيب الله يا أكثر كما هل إليك للحب في الخضر جئت صلي عليك يا أجد الحسن محمد يا نزيك يا من جئتنا بشرى طه نور عليك قلبي في المدينة وجد السكينة قال يا نبينا السلام عليك قلبي في المدينة وجد السكينة محمد نبينا السلام عليك صلوات الله وسلامه عليك يا رسول الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليك يا حبيب الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليك يا رسول الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليك يا حبيب الله رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله
ما شاء الله جزاك الله خير جزيلا. MashaAllah, he did the whole thing with no paper. MashaAllah. The nasheed he recited was regarding the love of Medina and regarding the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In our lives, our role model should be the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's very unfortunate today that many of our youth, they grow up with the love of other people, other role models, whether it be Ronaldo, Messi, whatever it may be. And one of the reasons for this is that at home, we don't have the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we were to read the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we were to read the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with people, if we were to read the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived his life, then we would become in love with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is something that we should try and do from today. That from today I'm going to read such and such from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the ways we can increase our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is firstly by adopting the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are many sunnah acts we can do daily. For example, one is the outer. We can wear the sunnah thawb of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But also, we can live our life according to the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived. To all the students here, we all learn the du'as in madrasa. We all learn all the du'as for eating, du'as for sleeping. In every aspect of life in Islam, there's a du'a to be read. And this is from the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in no other religion will you find that before eating, before going to the toilet, after leaving the toilet, all of these things, looking into a mirror, having water, drinking milk, for every single aspect of our life is a dua. And this is the beauty of Islam, that we're thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every minute of the day. Other religions, they'll go on a Saturday, they'll go on a Sunday, and this is their religion done. Look at the beauty of Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this chance. And to the students, we all learn these duas, and we need to act upon these duas now. We should try all the du'as we recite. Today we all entered the masjid. All the students know the du'a for the masjid. Allahumma aftahli abwaab rahmatik. All of us, we either walked here or we came in car. We all know the dua when traveling in the car. So we learn all of these things. We don't learn them so we just pass the exams and come first. Rather, we learn them so that we can act upon it. So from today on, we should all make an intention that, for example, we're all going to go home today. We're going to leave the masjid. We said the dua when leaving the masjid. When you go home, you're going to eat. You said the dua for eating. You said the dua after eating. And as parents, this is something we should encourage. That as a family, before we sit to eat, we should recite the dua. We should think there's people across the world in this very city who cannot afford food. So all of these things we should do for the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the second thing we should do is we should try and send salawatum upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today is a Thursday night, so we all know the virtue of Thursday night. And we should ask ourselves that how long does it take, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From here to our houses, we can recite it maybe 100 times, maybe 200 times. So like this, we can increase our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just one story that comes to mind is that we all know of Sheikh Hazrat Mawlana Adam rahimahullah, who passed away last year. And we know how many thousands of people attended his funeral. In his life, he had such deep love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that towards the end of his life, he was maybe 85 years old, and he suffered a stroke on his right side of his body. So it was very difficult for him to function any part of his right side of the body. Yet, I can recall that he was in lesson once with us, and he had to do wudu. So the doctor was also present. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, "Inna Allah yuhibbu tayammun." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Allah loves starting things with the right. So in his wudu, he would like that he start from the right side. So the doctor was there, the doctor was present, and the doctor told him that it's going to be too much, it's too difficult for you. For you, it's fine just to do tayammum on this side. But yet still, he went through the difficulty of taking his jacket off, taking his cloak off, doing wudu, after all of this harm. Simply why? Because he had the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And last Sunday, it was mentioned in Jamia Masjid, Sheikh Abdul Rahim came, that a person seen a dream, and in this dream he was in Medina. And he entered the Masjid al-Nabi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid, and someone gave him a key. And this key was to enter. We all know, if you have been in Medina, we know that when you enter the Masjid al-Nabawi, there's a chamber in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is buried. So someone gave him this key, and they told him that you can enter and you can go in this chamber. So he was with his friends, and he told his friends that, listen, I'm going to go inside the chamber. So he enters the chamber, and he sees that in front of the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I see a person sitting on a chair. And this person, he's reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says that when I went to look who this person was, I looked and it was none other than Hazrat Mawlana Adam rahimahullah. So by doing these things, we can also maybe not attain this level, but we should try and attain at least some form of level of the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the correct understanding. Next, I'd like to call upon Adam Patel to say some words regarding the importance of salah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The holidays are a blessed time that give us the chance to unwind and enjoy the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. However, amidst all the fun and relaxation, we must not neglect our most important duty, connecting to Allah through our salah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, The first thing a person will be asked about on the Day of Judgment is about his salah. If his salah is good, then the rest of his deeds will also be good. However, if his salah is bad, the rest of his deeds will also be bad. This shows that salah is the foundation of our deen. Think about it. The King of the Kings, the Creator of the Universe, calls us 5 times a day to meet him in salah. The Adhan is calling out, Hayya ala salah, come to prayer. Yet how often do we delay it, miss it, or even pray in a rush? Let's make a strong promise to prioritize our salah. Let's strive to pray in congregation in the masjid, where the reward is 27 times greater. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, salah in congregation is 27 times greater in reward than salah which is prayed alone. Our brothers and sisters in Gaza face unimaginable hardships. They have no food, many have lost their homes, and not a single masjid has been left standing. Yet what do we still see? photos and videos of them praying Salah outside amongst all the broken bricks and fallen minarets. Their bodies are suffering, but their hearts stand firm for Allah. We've been given so much ease. We have a clean masjid, soft carpets, safety and food. What excuse will we give Allah if we don't pray? What answer will we have on the Day of Judgment? Let's use our holidays as an opportunity to strengthen our connection with Allah. Let's reflect on His blessings and prioritize our prayers. May Allah guide us to be steadfast in our prayers and accept our efforts. Jazakumullahu khairan for listening.
MashaAllah, Jazakallah khair to Adam for reminding us about the importance of Salah. As parents, we want the best for our children in both the world and the hereafter. Yet, the blunt truth is that how much importance do we give to Salah? It's very sad that the only time in the holidays we see the children attend the masjid is during the Jumu'ah Salah. That's the only time you see them. The summer holidays are coming up, and as parents, it's our responsibility that we have to ensure that we ourselves first pray our Salah, and that our children also pray their Salah. And there are many ways we can make it engaging. There are many ways we can show its importance. For example, in the December holidays, in this masjid, we had a program where we had a competition for those who come Fajr the most. So this entire masjid was full, this room, the back room, full of students, full of youth who were attending the masjid. And we had over 40 people, 40 youth coming to the masjid from aged 4 to 16. Many, many youth came. And this shows that as parents, we woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning. It was cold, December was cold. Made an effort. We switched on our cars. It was very cold. We attended the masjid. After the Fajr Salah, we used to have reminders. So after Fajr used to be 10 minutes. After Fajr, we used to sit for the reminder, another 10 minutes. Then we used to have breakfast, another 10 minutes. So in the morning at 7:30, we made the effort. Why? For our children. Because our children wanted to partake. And we took out about an hour of our time in the holidays to attend the masjid. Why? Because for our children. Now this goes to show that as parents, if we want to make it engaging, we can. The masjid played a role, but now it's up to ourselves to ensure that we pray our salahs. And the best way we can start off by this, the best way we can start off doing this, is us ourselves to start praying our salah. If, I'm just giving you an example, that many a times people approach myself, people approach other teachers, when their sons reach 16, 17 years old, and they're complaining now, that once a child reaches 16 years old, 17 years old, it's very hard to control him. And now they're telling him that go to the masjid, go speak to the imam, go speak to your maulana. By then, it's too late. Why? Because this child has a mind of his own now. Rather from before, if our children see us that they're praying salah, our children see us that if Fajr is at 4 o'clock or 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, my father is praying. We're in the airport, we're traveling in the summer holidays, and we're in Spain, wherever we are, and we're in the airport at the time of salah, and it's difficult. There's no prayer room, and you're the only Muslim in the airport, and you have to go to the side and pray. It's a difficult thing to do. Yet still, our children, they see we're taking an effort out and doing this. Then automatically, we won't have to force them to pray. They themselves, they'll pray themselves. So it's very important, as parents especially, that in our households, salah is being established 5 times a day. If you cannot attend the masjid, then at the very least, at least pray at home. And the summer holidays are coming up. I'd like to ask the parents to make an intention that for at least one salah a day, at least one salah a day, we're all working. However, no one's working from Fajr to Isha. There's at least one salah at home. So for at least one salah, I'd like to ask all the parents to make an intention that to bring your child for at least one salah a day. At least one salah a day. This way they can connect with the masjid, they can connect with the imams. In this masjid, we're very fortunate that the majority of our imams, they're young, they can speak English. Growing up myself, the only masjid I can recall that had English-speaking imams was Academy. An Academy was established around 10-15 years ago. So before that, maybe we had an excuse that the imams don't speak English, I don't want to go to the masjid. Today, me and you, we have no excuse. So I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the correct understanding. And next, I'd like to call upon Rehan to speak about the importance of parents.
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Imagine you own a treasure chest filled with gold and precious jewels. You lock it safely, guard it carefully, and never want to lose it because it's your most valuable possession. But did you know there's something even more precious than all the gold and jewels in this world? it's our parents. Our parents are our true treasure. They took care of us when we were tiny and helpless. They stayed awake when we were sick. They worked so hard so that we could eat, study and live happily. In Islam, taking care of our parents is not just something nice, but it's something very important. Allah mentions it right after worshipping Him. In the Quran, Allah says, "And your Lord has commanded that you worship none but Him and to parents good treatment." The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ also says that pleasing your parents pleases Allah and making them upset makes Allah upset. So how can we honour our parents? Speak kindly and avoid harsh words, even if they're upset. Help with the chores, especially as they grow older. Listen when they talk, even if you heard the story 100 times. Spend time with them, because that's how we show love. Be patient if they're worried or sometimes strict, remembering how much they sacrificed for us. Sometimes people may ask us, "Please make dua for me." That's good, but there's a big difference from someone making dua for you because we asked, and someone making dua for you from their own heart. For example, imagine your mum has been working all day, cooking and cleaning, and without her asking, you massage her head. She then feels really happy and makes a special dua for you. That dua will have a huge effect because it's from her own heart. So always try to help people without waiting to be asked. The duas they make then are very powerful. And remember, even a small smile at our parents is counted as charity in Islam. Let's all make a promise today to treat our parents like the priceless treasure they are. By loving and respecting them, we earn the love of Allah and create peace and happiness in our homes. Jazakum Allah khairan for listening. May Allah bless all our parents and make us good sons and daughters. Ameen.
Jazakallah to Rehan. A very powerful reminder, especially to the children present today, that we should honour our parents. Prophet ﷺ said, "Ridha Rabbi fi ridha al-walid, wa sakhta Rabbi fi sakhta al-walid." That the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies in the happiness of his parents, and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies in the anger of one's parents. So many a times we fail to understand the value of our parents, and only once they're not there anymore, that's when we understand their value. So it's very important. The summer holidays are coming up. This is a time where we'll be home most of the day. Our parents will be home most of the day. This is an opportunity for us to help our parents. And as we had mentioned, that we should help our parents without them asking us to do so. For example, we're at home, our moms are in the kitchen cooking, and instead of being in bed, waking up at 1 o'clock, we should maybe wake up a bit earlier. Without our mom asking us to do so, we should go in the kitchen, we should help. Time of eating, we should help. Our fathers, they work all day. When they come back, we should ask them what they want, we should help them. So all of these things, as Rehan mentioned, that these du'as that come out at the time when our parents are happy with us, without them asking us to do something. Many a times, today is the opposite, that our parents tell us to do something 3-4 times, and the 5th time maybe we'll listen. We should make an intention today, all the students, make an intention from today, that when I go home today, I'm going to do something for my parents without them asking me to do so. So we're all ready for this, all the children, inshallah. Next, I'd like to call upon Niall to give a speech regarding the value of Islam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope you are all well. Imagine for a moment you wake up one day, go to the bathroom as we usually do, turn on the tap, but the water is cold. Then we go to the kitchen, turn on the kettle, but the kettle doesn't work. After that, we go to our mobile device that we had been charging overnight just to realise it hadn't gained any battery. Only then we understand the value of electricity that we have been taking granted for the past 20 to 30 years. This is the same way we should treat our deen. Some of us have taken it granted of our deen for the past majority of our lives, but it's never too late to turn back to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you my example. Not too long ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me to the beautiful deen of Islam in the blessed month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. For me, it is a struggle to come to madrasa because my parents doesn't know the value of Islam, whereas your parents do. So for you, you should be glad that your parents push you to go to the mosque. And JazakAllah khairan for listening.
JazakAllah khairan to Niall. Niall is a new Muslim. He accepted Islam in the month of Ramadan. And he accepted Islam from his own will. MashaAllah, he went to school, he had Muslim friends. And this is how he accepted Islam. And Niall, on the weekends, MashaAllah, many of us, we like to play PS5, PS4, whatever it is. He likes to spend his time in the masjid. Majority of the time I see him is in the masjid, praying Quran. He's eager to learn. He wants to become a hafiz. And as he mentioned, for him, sometimes it's a struggle to come to madrasa, because there are certain barriers for him to come. He wants to come, yet it's difficult for him. And for us, for the rest of us, it's the opposite. We don't want to come, but our parents force us to go. Just go, it's only 2 hours. So we should take inspiration, and we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for all of us, that Islam was given to us on the plate. For us, it was very easy. We were born with it. So it's very easy to not understand the value of this. So we should all value our Islam. We should all protect our iman. Just as easily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can very easily take this back away from us. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from these things. The next, I'd like to call upon Ahmed Boudi to give a speech about Hifz. Our brothers are requested to come forward. Many brothers at the back, if you could fill in the gaps.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I stand before you today not just as a Hifz student but as a living example of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do with an ordinary person when they commit to His book. The Quran is not just something we recite, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's direct words and is described as a source of light, guidance, and a form of healing. Being a hafiz is not about having the best memory. It's about having the will to try every single day, no matter how tired you are, no matter how busy you are. There were many hard days where I forgot and had to repeat the same pages over and over again. But every time I wanted to give up, I reminded myself of the rewards. Amongst the rewards are that the hafiz can choose 10 people to enter Jannah, and for the parents, on the Day of Judgment, they will also wear a crown for raising a hafiz. However, if one forgets the Quran, in the hadith to the nearest effect, the Quran will run away from the heart like a camel running away from its stable. So whatever you memorize, ensure you pray it daily. For example, on the way to and back from school, you can recite something as small as Surah Ikhlas, which only takes around 5 to 10 seconds to recite. You don't need to be special to start Hifz. You just need to start one ayah, one verse, one step. And to the parents, support your children, make dua, and help them love the Quran. Because on the Day of Judgment, you'll wear a crown of light for raising a hafiz. So I leave you with this. The Quran is calling, but will you answer? Start today with one verse and let the Quran change your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of the Quran. Ameen. JazakAllah khair for listening.
MashaAllah, JazakAllah to Ahmed. Ahmed is in the Hifz class. He's only got 4 ajzaa of the Quran left before he becomes a hafiz. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow him to finish the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him from the people of the Quran. And this is a very great honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to those who become hafiz. And we need to understand sometimes we undervalue those who become hafiz of the Quran. Just think for a moment, a student in Hifz class. For 6-7 years, daily they're reciting the Quran. At least 2 hours, they're reciting the Quran daily. Every single day, day in, day out, that's just in madrasa. At home, they'll go home, they recite again for 1-2 hours. So for 6 or 7 years of their life, every single day, for a minimum of 4 hours, they're reciting the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And think of how much reward they're gaining. Then on the day of Qiyamah, think of the honor, as Ahmed mentioned, given to the person who becomes a hafiz, that their parents will be called, they'll be given a crown. And when they enter Jannah, The only thing we can find in the hadith where you can ascend in Jannah is, as the hadith mentions, اقرأ وارتقي ورتل كما كنت أرتل في الدنيا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the hafiz, iqra, that recite and ascend. And every ayah you recite, you'll go higher and higher, higher and higher in each stage of Jannah. So all of us today, we should try and start hifz. As Ahmed mentioned, that don't think it's impossible. When I started, I thought it was impossible. When Ahmed started, he must have thought it was impossible. Start somewhere. You start somewhere. So in September, for those of us who are in year 8, year 9, this is the perfect time to start hifz. This is a time when we don't have any responsibilities. We have a lot of free time. Instead of wasting our time, we should spend it reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, memorizing the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, especially in summer holidays also, try and memorize any surahs. And also to the parents, we should encourage our children to join hifz. As parents also, maybe find it difficult, you don't have the time, then we can also just learn some portions of the Qur'an, whether that's Amma Yatasa'aloon, whether it's the last 30th juz of the Qur'an. We ourselves should have this fire within us, that if you're not hafiz, at least memorize the main surahs. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding some surahs, that Surah Yasin, I wish it was in the heart of every single Muslim. So these surahs we should try on the weekend, take some time out and try and memorize these portions of the Qur'an. Next, I'd like to call upon Hamza Muhammad to speak about a very important topic, a topic that all of us unfortunately have fallen prey to, and that is mobile phones.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today I want to talk to you about a topic that affects us all in this modern age, mobile phones. While these devices have brought us many conveniences, we must also consider the potential harms they pose, especially from an Islamic perspective. In Islam, we are encouraged to seek knowledge and use our time wisely. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a perfect example of how to live a balanced life. He spent his time engaging with his community, teaching and nurturing relationships. He valued face-to-face interactions and understood the importance of being present in the moment. Today, however, many of us find ourselves glued to our screens, often at the expense of our relationships and responsibilities. The excessive use of mobile phones can lead to several harms. 1. Distraction from worship. In our daily lives, we are called to remember Allah and engage in acts of worship. Mobile phones can distract us from prayer and other important moments, pulling our attention away from what truly matters. 2. Impact on relationships. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized the importance of strong family ties and community bonds. With our heads buried in our phones, we may neglect our loved ones, missing out on meaningful connections and conversations. 3. Mental health concerns. Studies have shown that excessive phone use can lead to anxiety, depressions, and feeling of isolation. Islam teaches us to care for our mental well-being and to be mindful of how our phone habits affect our mental health. 4. Spread of misinformation. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known for his honesty and integrity. In today's world, mobile phones can be a source of misinformation and negativity. We must be cautious about what we share and what we consume, ensuring it aligns with our values. O Allah, most merciful and wise, we seek your guidance in our daily lives. Help us to use our mobile phones wisely to avoid distractions that lead us away from you. Grant us the strength to prioritize our prayers, to nurture our relationships with families and friends, and to seek knowledge that brings us closer to you. Protect us from the harms of misinformation and fill our hearts with peace. Guide us to use technology as a tool for good so that we may reflect your light in all that we do. Ameen. Jazakallah for listening.
Jazakallah khair to Hamza. Very important topic, mobile phones. And I'm speaking to the parents here, that many of us, we give our children mobile phones when they're 12, 13 years old. But we should ask ourselves that, do we really know what's going on their mobile phones? Studies have been conducted, and this is by non-Muslims, not even by Muslims, that the average age a child is given access to an indecent image at the age of 11 years old. At the age of 11 years old, our child can see things which they're not supposed to be seeing. And over 60% of children feel they're addicted to their phones. And this is something which is very concerning. It's even more concerning that a child today, at the age of 13, 14 years old, he can see more in 2 hours than a person 100 years ago could see in his entire life. And this is something we should think about, that before giving our children phones, we should think to ourselves that about the harms and the benefits. And how can we improve on our, how can we monitor our children? The first thing we should do is, we ourselves as parents, we shouldn't be on our phones all day. If our children see that when we're eating, we're on our phones, before we go sleep, we're on our phones, as a family, we're on our phones, then don't for one moment think that they're not going to go on their mobile phones. So it's very important as parents, firstly, that we have times of the day, at the time of eating, should be strict, that no mobile phones are allowed. At certain times of the day, we should make sure that no mobile phones. Secondly, we should try and make sure that we know what our children are doing on these phones. If our children are in their rooms, and the door is locked, and they're left with the phone, and we think that they're studying, then more likely than not, they'll be studying for 5 minutes, and the other 45 minutes, they'll be scrolling videos. And we should ask ourselves that, do we even know who they're talking to, who they're texting? All of these things, as parents, is our responsibility. We can't just expect to give them a phone and think that we won't be questioned regarding this. So finally, I'll call upon Siraj to recite the poem. Just before we begin, all the students, could you sit properly, please? Properly, as we say in Salah. Properly. Aman, sit properly. Salahuddin. Sit properly.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Siraj, and I'm going to be saying a poem about Palestine. As Palestine cries, children weep, parents cry, and brothers die. As Palestine cries, people see their lands in ruins, the crops have died. Innocent people pass away, all their life they tried. As Palestine cries, the bloodstream gets bigger. Most of the people are 6 feet under. As Palestine cries, the ground begins to crack. It weeps tears of blood. So many people dead, more than 1,000 youths not fed. This is a dua for Palestine. Allahumma aslih al fil Filistin wa ajal lahum makhrajan min kulli dayqin wa ham. The meaning is, O Allah, improve the condition of the people of Palestine and grant them relief from every hardship and worry. Ameen. Jazakallah.
JazakAllah khair to Siraj. We all know the situation of our brothers and sisters in Palestine. And as Muslims, it's important for us to, as Prophet ﷺ says, Al-Mu'minun, all the Muslims are like one body. In ishtaka aynu, ishtaka kullu. If we have a headache, if our eye hurts, then our entire body is in pain. So similarly, when we see the news, and we see what's going on in the news, we see what's happening, this should have some impact on our lives. And there are a few things we can do. Firstly, we are not to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. But we should try. And the first thing we can do is make dua. Today, tomorrow is a Friday, the day of Jumu'ah. Today is a Thursday night. At the very least, at the very, very least, a day shouldn't go by except in which we make dua for our brothers and sisters in Palestine. We should be active. We should partake in boycotts. We should educate our children on the history of Palestine. Our children, most of them go to non-Muslim schools. If they are questioned by their friends, are we confident that they can give a correct answer? So all of these things we should do, we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Adam mentioned in his speech, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ, will the people think they will enter Jannah without them being tested? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at their test. They are being tested. And as Adam mentioned, that even then they are praying salah. In Gaza today, there's not a single masjid standing. And even then they are praying salah daily. Yet, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us everything. We have the masjid, we have the fans, we have heating, we have carpets. And yet still, we don't make an effort to pray. So I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives all the correct understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Palestine, and all over the world. Finally, alhamdulillah, our guest speaker has come, Mona Ayasab. Mona Ayaz is the head teacher of Masjid al-Nur. Masjid al-Nur is one of the first masjids in Leicester to be established. Mona Ayaz, mashallah, has been working for the past many, many years in Leicester. He's the head teacher of Masjid al-Nur. He also teaches senior kitabs of hadith in the academy, Darul Ulum, in Jamia Riyadhul Ulum, in the academy. So I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept his efforts. And I myself have personally benefited from many, many of his talks. He does a lot of work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of his work. I'd like to thank Mona Ayaz for taking out his time. He's extremely busy. He runs the maktab. And yet still, he took out time to come to us. So I'd like to thank Mawlana Ayaz for attending, and inshallah, he will advise us with some words. JazakAllah.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده والمهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم الحمد لله It brings a lot of joy and pleasure to be present here today among students of madrasa and at a place wherein the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being taught. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of the students that are studying here, accept the efforts of the teachers, the management, and the parents. Madrasa and a place wherein the deen and religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taught is a very blessed place. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions with regards to those people that go out in quest of knowledge that من خرج في طلب العلم فهو في سبيل الله حتى يرجع that whoever leaves the home in quest of knowledge then they are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so students that leave their home and they come to madrasa or to any place where religious dini education is imparted are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So being in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from among the most virtuous things that a person can acquire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith mentions that innal malaikata latada'u ajnihataha ridhan li talibil ilmi bima يفعل that the angels spread out their wings for those that go out to seek knowledge because of what they are doing. So one explanation of this is that when a person is out in search of knowledge, then when they are walking, they are not walking on the ground. Yes, they are walking on the ground, but their feet are not touching the ground. Out of honor and respect for this student of knowledge, angels spread out their wings. So the students of knowledge, their feet fall on the wings of the angels. So there can be no greater honor than this. So first and foremost, the students of knowledge are deserving of praise, deserving of this virtue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with, and for us to be part of this program at this moment in time, we will also gain the blessings and barakat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon those that go out to seek knowledge. When we attend madrasa for the purpose of our children, our sons, daughters coming to madrasa, is to learn about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to learn about what Allah wants of us, expects of us as Muslims. So when our students, when our children attend madrasa, at the end of the week, at the end of the month, at the end of the year, we should be able to assess how much has my child learnt about deen. So the purpose of sending a child to madrasa is not just to tick a box that the child from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock at home may be a nuisance, may be a headache, we don't have time to take care of them, so let's send them to madrasa. So less headache at home. That is not the objective. The objective is a very significant, important and high objective, which is that our children, they learn about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whether they're learning or not is not just based on their attending madrasa from 5 to 7. It's based on us keeping an eye on their religious spiritual progress. If they are learning with regards to salah, for example, with regards to praying Quran, with regards to being obedient to parents, with regards to not lying, with regards to always telling the truth, with regards to being kind to brothers and sisters, with regards to not using foul language. So all these things they would learn, they would be taught. But whether they are truly learning or not is not judged by us sitting down with them and telling them that, okay, go through all the things that you've learned, and they one by one repeat whatever they've been taught in madrasa. That is not the objective. Because if a child has learned 100 things and is able to one by one go through all the 100 things that they've learned, yet when we look at their life, they are not practicing. They're swearing at home, they're deceiving, they're cheating, they're lying, they're not obedient to parents, they're not particular with regards to purity, impurity, they're not particular with regards to other aspects of our deen. Then this is a red flag for us to make us realize that we are not truly giving the education to our child that they deserve. Or if they are attending, they are not truly benefiting from the time that they are spending in madrasa. Yes, for them to spend the 2 hours in madrasa is a big sacrifice. And inshallah, this will most definitely bring a lot of barakah. This will most definitely bring a lot of barakah and safeguard and protect the iman of the child. That is there. But on the one hand, 2 hours of madrasa, and on the other hand, the other hours that they spend in an environment that may not be so productive with regards to their religious upbringing, or it may be negative with regards to what Islam teaches or what Islam expects of a child. So majority of the time is spent in a place which does not conform to what you may hold valuable or according to Islam, which is seen to be of utmost importance. So where they spend more time, obviously that environment is going to affect them more. And where they spend less time, within that less time, they have to make the most of ensuring that they are able to derive maximum benefit. But it's still possible. It's still possible. So despite a child spending 8 hours, 6 hours in a non-Islamic environment or an environment which is not so supportive to what Islam would teach, and 2 hours in the madrasa, still it's possible for a child to attain and acquire what would make them successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that throughout history, when you look back, or just take England as an example, okay, when the first people migrated from India, Pakistan, other parts of the world, they never had in mind that how are they going to preserve their religion, preserve the religion of their progeny. Because first and foremost, anyone that would come from a different country, objective is to earn a good livelihood, earn money, and settle down financially. So the people that first came, they never had in mind that we're going to make masjids, we're going to make madrasa. Probably the most that they thought was make money and then we're going to go back home and settle again once where we've come from. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He works mysteriously and amazingly. So Allah is the one that brings people. Allah is the one that then facilitates for masjids, makatib, madrasa, and at the same time provides all the resources for all these things. So if you were to go back 50, 60 years ago and tell the first people that may have migrated that this is what you would see in the form of madrasa, in the form of masjid, in the form of students attending madrasa, it would have been a wild dream. They would have said that it's impossible. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that provides, He is the one that protects the deen, He is the one that safeguards our deen. But we also have to play a role in that. We also have to fulfill a responsibility that falls on our shoulder, which is the nurturing, taking care of our children and ensuring that what they are learning, they are also practicing. So that is the first message that I would like to convey to all my brothers and sisters here today. That alhamdulillah, our children, they attend madrasa. But whether they are successful or not in what they are learning is not just judged by the result that they get on paper. It is judged on how they behave. How they behave. And what is the attitude with regards to practicing the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hadith that I shared with you in the beginning, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very beautifully explains to us that al-muslimu man salim al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadih. That a true Muslim is he from whose tongue and hand other Muslims are safe. So when you talk about Islam, when you talk about our religion, the first thing that comes to majority of our minds is that Islam is to perform salah, is to give zakah, is to fast, is to perform hajj. That's it. But there is much more to Islam than just following and fulfilling the five fundamentals of Islam, which we learn from this hadith, that a true Muslim who would say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, who would perform salah, who would fast, who would give zakah, and when hajj becomes obligatory, he fulfills this obligation in his life. How he behaves with people around him also displays Islam. That is why it is said that Islam is made up of five branches. So when we say I am a Muslim, that means that in our life there should be five branches. One is belief. The other is worship, which we all know about. These two are very common. Every Muslim would know about belief. He would know about worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are three more branches which majority of us are unaware of, or we don't pay attention towards, which is first and foremost mu'amalat, our dealings. How do we deal with one another, whether Muslim or a non-Muslim? For example, you're buying, selling, you're renting, giving something on rent. How do you do this transaction? So it's not up to you how you want to do this transaction. You have to make sure that you do this transaction exactly as Islam tells you to do the transaction. Or else there will be no barakah and blessing in the transaction. So one is mu'amalat, the other is mu'asharat, our social life. How do we live with those around us? How do we live with our parents? How do we live with our wives? How do we live with our children? How do we live with our neighbors? How do we live with those that we come into contact with, whether Muslim or non-Muslim? So mu'asharat, social life, that is also part of Islam. Social life, that is also part of Islam. And the gist of social life is that we don't behave in a way through which we inconvenience anyone. Through which we inconvenience anyone. So for example, if there is a double yellow line outside the house for someone to park there, we may think that it's all normal, there's nothing wrong. Or if it's Salah and we're going to miss Salah, park in a bad way, it doesn't matter because Salah is more important. But if you've obstructed someone or you've parked incorrectly, although you're praying Salah, you've got no 100% benefit from the Salah because you've done something wrong. You've gone against Mu'ashara, the social life that Islam expects you to follow. You've gone against that. So on the one hand, you're performing Salah, but on the other hand, another branch of Islam you're violating. And finally, Husni Akhlaq, our good character. So all these five are part of Islam. So when our child comes to madrasa, he's taught all these five things. He's not just taught about believing in Allah. He's not just taught about worshipping Allah. He's also taught about how to deal with one another. He's also taught about mu'asharat, social life. He's also taught about good character. So as parents, we need to look at all these things. So the Prophet ﷺ says that a true Muslim is he from whose tongue and hand other Muslims are safe. So that means that a true Muslim would ensure that with the tongue, he does not abuse anyone. He does not swear. He does not belittle. He does not lie. Anything that is bad related to the tongue, he does not do. Because if he does, then he's not a true Muslim. He's not a complete Muslim. Yes, he does not become a non-Muslim. Because by doing bad, a person does not go out of the fold of Islam or out of the fold of belief. But all these bad things that a person does is very harmful. Because the more bad you do, it may take you to the brink of disbelief. So one cannot take doing bad lightly. If a person takes doing bad lightly, then he is fooling himself. Because every bad, every evil that a person does, it takes a person closer to the complete evil in the form of disbelief. So a person should ensure that with the tongue, he does not harm anyone. Here the Prophet ﷺ is saying, does not harm a Muslim, but this means any person. And similarly with the hand, does not harm anyone. So physically, verbally, does not harm anyone. That is what a true Muslim means. So if you look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, he is a perfect example for us with regards to ensuring that with his tongue, with his actions, he never harmed anyone. He never harmed anyone. His wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she reports that the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he would leave the home at night to get up to perform tahajjud salah, he would get up in a manner wherein he would not disturb her. So he would make sure that he gets up very silently. If it was one of us sleeping with our spouses or sleeping with our husband's wives, we don't keep this in our mind that I should get up in a way that I will not disturb the next person. We may behave in such a manner that we may spoil their sleep. And we're very inconsiderate. But the Prophet ﷺ was so considerate that he would not harm or would not cause the least inconvenience to his wives. It is said that the Ashab al-Suffa that would be near the living quarters of the Prophet ﷺ during the night time, and the Prophet ﷺ would go past them, some of them would be awake, some of them would be asleep. So the Prophet ﷺ would do salam in such a manner that those that are awake would be able to hear, but those that are asleep would not be disturbed. So here, the Prophet ﷺ could have thought that, let me do salam. Salam is a good thing. But say it in such a manner that everyone that is asleep also wakes up. But that is wrong. But at the same time, he could have thought that, let me remain silent so I don't disturb anyone. That is also wrong. Because a person that is awake, to do salam to him is more virtuous. So look at the moderate path that Islam teaches us, that the Prophet ﷺ did salam, but in a manner that those that were awake were able to listen to him, and those that were asleep were not disturbed. That is what you call true Islam. That is what you call practicing Islam in a manner through which a person does not disturb anyone in any shape or form. So a true Muslim is he from whose tongue and hand other Muslims are safe. There is an incident mentioned with regards to two great imams. One's name was Imam A'mash and another's name was Imam A'raj. So both of them had some physical deformity. One, he had squint eyed, and the other had a limp. So they had this physical deformity. So once the student A'raj, he was the student and A'mash was the teacher, he said to him that, let us go to the marketplace. So Imam A'mash said that, no, let us stay here and I'll teach you and you can learn from me. So he said that, no, why don't we go into marketplace, we can walk and get some fresh air, and at the same time you could also teach me whilst we are walking. So Imam A'mash said that, no. So he, upon insisting, said that, why? Why don't you want to go? So he told him that when we go, one of us is squint-eyed, the other is has a limp. So when people see us, they mock us, they tease us. Because they say, look, one of the people that are going by, he's got squint in his eyes, and the other one, he's got a limp. So they tease us. So I do not want to go because they tease us. So he said, the student said, that let them tease us. If they tease us, we get reward for it. Because anyone unlawfully teasing someone, the person that is teased gets reward. So we get reward. We get reward and they get sin. So look at the answer the teacher gave. The teacher told him that نَسْلَمْ وَيَسْلَمُونَ خَيْرٌ مِنْ النُّؤْجَرْ وَيَأْثِمُونَ. That it's better that we remain safe and they remain safe. Meaning, they don't get any sin, neither do we get teased, and as a result, we also safe. So that's better that both of us remain safe, rather than we get reward and they get sin. So this is what you call true Islam. Because they could have gone and as a result acquired so much reward because people teased them. But on the other hand, not going was saving them from sinning. So this is what you call saving other people from one's hands and from one's speech. So this is going to the extreme of making sure that other people behave correctly with you and you don't become the means of them behaving inappropriate to you, towards you. Whereas the message is only that you should make sure that with your tongue and with your hand you don't harm anyone. But they went as far as ensuring that the way we behave with someone, they should not face any harm as well. So that is what Islam teaches us. So the first part of this hadith is a big lesson for all of us. That as Muslims, we need to make sure that we do not harm anyone whatsoever. With our tongue or with our physical body. If we do that, then that is a sign of being a true and complete Muslim. And the last part of this hadith that I shared, the Prophet ﷺ says, "Wal muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu an." That the true muhajir is he who leaves that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. So muhajir and hijra was a term used for the companions of the Prophet ﷺ who migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah to first Abyssinia and then finally to Medina Munawwara. So they migrated, leaving all their possessions, leaving all their wealth, their land and everything that they had behind in Makkah Mukarramah and making Medina Munawwara their homeland. So when they did this, they made a very big sacrifice because they left everything behind. They did not have anything with them. And when they went to Medina Munawwara, they were empty-handed. So this was one of the biggest sacrifices that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum made, and as a result acquired a very lofty status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hijrah, which was a means of acquiring immense reward, obviously is not possible for people that came afterwards. So for example, for us, we can't do hijrah from Makkah because now Makkah is a Muslim land. The Prophet ﷺ prophesied after the conquest of Makkah, the Prophet ﷺ said, "La hijrata ba'd al-fath," that there is no hijrah after the conquest of Makkah. So this meant that until the end of time now, Islam is going to prevail in Makkah Mukarramah. It will never happen that another religion overpowers Islam in Makkah Mukarramah. Islam will prevail all the way till the end of time. So up till today and until the end of time, no matter what revolution happens throughout the whole world, it will never happen that Islam once again is driven out of Makkah Mukarramah. It's impossible, because the Prophet ﷺ said that. So obviously there is no hijrah, or the virtue that the people acquired through migrating from Makkah to Medina Munawwara, it's not possible for anyone else to acquire that. But at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ explained in this hadith that what is the true hijrah? It's not moving from Makkah to Medina. The true hijrah is to leave sin. So why did the people of Makkah Mukarramah leave Makkah? Because the people of Makkah were persecuting them from practicing Islam. They did not want them to believe in one Allah. They did not want them to perform salah. They did not want them to practice the commands of Allah. So the reality of hijrah was to stay away from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is still possible today and will be possible until the end of time. So although physically a person may not be able to do hijrah, spiritually hijrah still exists, and that is the true hijrah. So every muhajir that migrated from Makkah to Mukarramah, his hijrah in reality was hijrah which was of a spiritual nature, which was to avoid disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this message we should all embed in our hearts and mind. Okay? That our children, ourselves, our target should be when it comes to practicing deen. Yes, we try to do as much as good as possible, but on top of the list should be we stay away from disobeying Allah. We stay away from doing those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. Because if we do that, then in reality we would be successful. In reality we would be successful. And if in our mind we are carefree, we learn about deen as well, we practice certain things, we don't practice certain things, then we are not truly progressing in our deen. And if we don't progress in our deen, first and foremost, on the day of judgment, we will not be successful. But together with that, this will affect our progress in this world. So as Muslims, our progress is dependent upon practicing Islam, following the commands of Allah. If we don't practice Islam, we don't practice the commands of Allah, we will not be blessed with progress in this world. So we all believe that Islam is the final and true religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only religion acceptable in the court of Allah. But true success from this religion is only possible when you practice Islam in its totality. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dkhulu fis silmi kaffa," that O you who believe, enter into Islam in its totality. That you have become a believer, now practice everything of Islam. So it should not be pick and choose. Yes, we are weak. We all understand that. We may not practice the way that we're supposed to, but the first thing we should do is accept this fact that I need to practice the whole Islam. And when I will practice the whole Islam, I will be blessed with success individually. If my whole family practices, they will be blessed with success. If my community practices, they will be blessed with success. And if the whole Muslim Ummah practices, they will be blessed with success. So without practicing the whole Islam, a person can never acquire success. A person can never acquire success. So when a person takes it upon himself that I want to practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that no matter what circumstances a person faces, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always facilitate for him. I will just leave with one example. Hakim ul-Ummah Maulana Shafi'i Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, he gives an example that a lot of the times when a person wants to practice the deen, he sometimes comes across situations where he feels it a bit difficult, that I will not be able to do this at this moment in time because of the circumstances that I'm in. But he says that that is a misconception. That is a deception from shaitan. When a person takes it upon himself that I want to practice, then Allah will always facilitate for him. So he says that once, giving an example, he said that once, I was traveling on the train in India. So when I was traveling, I stopped at a station, and coincidentally where I stopped, it was the time of Salah. So Maghrib Salah. So the station that I stopped, it was deserted. There was no one there. And I had valuables with me. So Islam does not tell you, pray your Salah and leave your valuables and let people steal and go away with it. You have to take care of your valuables as well. So he was in two minds that how can I pray my Salah now? Because if I go to pray my Salah, there's no one here that's going to look after my goods. And I also have to pray Salah. So he says, I was in this dilemma when suddenly the station master, he saw me from a distance and he came towards me. And the station master was a non-Muslim. So he saw him and seeing his attire, realizing that he's a Muslim, he asked him, assuming that he's a sheikh and a maulana, he said that, oh maulana, it must be your time of prayer now. And you must be worried about wanting to pray your salah. So he said that, yes, obviously. So he said to him that, don't worry, come into my office. Come into my office and pray your salah. Don't pray your salah here. So he says that, look at how Allah facilitated for me because I was concerned that I need to pray my salah. So as soon as a person makes or takes a decision that I need to practice this command of Allah, it may seem impossible, but Allah will make it possible. It depends on you how much you want to practice. So he said that that was the first thing that he took me to his office. So he says further, look at how particular he was with practicing deen. He said further, when he took me into his office, obviously during those days there was no electricity, people would use the lamp and the lantern. So the lantern does not belong to the station master. It belongs to the station. So he said, it's not permissible for me to use that lantern because the station master can use it for himself, but he cannot give me to use. So he said, I was worried that now he's going to switch on the lantern that belongs to the station and not him. And how can I explain this to him that don't switch the lantern on or I can't use this lantern because this is beyond his comprehension. He won't be able to understand that why are you being so particular with regards to this lantern. It's only light, you can use it. So he said, I was just worried that how am I going to get out of this dilemma. When he came into the room with a lantern saying that, Maulana, what can I tell you? It's been so many days that the station that had given me the lantern has not been working. And I bought my lantern from home. So you are lucky that I'm going to use my lantern for you. So he switched his lantern on and made him pray Salah. So he says that when a person makes this firm resolution that I want to practice the deen of Allah, then no matter where he is, no matter what circumstances he is faced with, he is able to practice the deen of Allah because Allah facilitates for him. So the reality is, if we don't want to practice, we won't practice. And if we want to, we will be able to practice. So our goal and target should be that whilst our children come to madrasa, they become a 100% practicing Muslim. And what they learn, what they practice, we also learn. We also have this zeal that I want to also practice the full deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there are shortcomings, as I said, the first thing that we need to understand is accept that I need to practice the whole deen. We can't keep this in mind that, oh, as long as I'm doing a bit here and there, it's sufficient. No, I need to practice the whole deen and there is much deficiency. That is the first thing we should accept. And after accepting, try. At least try that if until yesterday there were only 5 things we were practicing and we know 10 things about Islam, at least move on to the 6th, 7th thing and try and practice that again. And after a few more weeks, months, look at our life that now I'm practicing 7 things, but I know 10 things. So there's still 3 things missing. So let me move on to the 8th thing. And like that, slowly, slowly bring the entire deen in our life. And if we're not able to, at least if we try, on the day of judgment we could be raised in the court of Allah saying to Allah, Allah, at least I tried. But if our mission in life is not to try, then obviously we're going to be taken to task. That you knew that you had to practice Islam and you did not try. So whatever we learn, whatever our children learn, the objective is to practice that. So let us make sure that the practices of our deen remain in our lives, in the lives of our children, inshallah, if we keep this in mind and with this send our children to madrasa, then our sending our children to madrasa would be a means of a lot of barakah, a lot of blessing and success in this world and success in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to act upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa hamdihi subhanakallahu wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.
JazakAllah khair to Mullah Ayaz. He's taken his time out to attend this gathering. As I mentioned, he's the head teacher of Masjid An-Nur. We'd like to thank him for taking out his time. He mentioned some very important points. And in the summer holidays, especially as children, as parents, this is a perfect time for us to live a life of amal, to live a life of practice. Today, we may have come first, we may have come second, we may have got full marks in our tajweed, in our Quran, we may have got full marks in our du'as, but if you're not reciting these du'as daily, if you're not reciting the Quran daily, then as Mawlana mentioned, we're not entering Islam fully. So, I'd like to request firstly the parents that from today on make an intention that we're going to try to practice Islam at its fullest. It doesn't mean our children came first, we're happy, we should be happy of course, but we ourselves we should practice Islam. In our homes, daily, Salah should be read, Quran should be recited every single day. And as Mawlana mentioned, we should try and live a life of amal. So I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to live a life of amal, to live a life which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Mawlana mentioned, that the main thing is we should make an effort. In the summer holidays, all the children make an effort. Today we heard about parents, we heard about salah, we heard about many, many topics. At least take one topic, if not everything, at least take one topic, respecting parents, praying our salahs, attending the masjid, and hold on to just one thing and make an intention that from today on, I'll attend the masjid. From today on, I'll pray all my salah. So pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the correct understanding. Now finally, alhamdulillah, our children, they've worked very hard during the exams. And this is the time of the year where the exams come and we work hard and we are rewarded with prizes for our efforts. It's important for us to understand that whether we come first or second, the main point is we put effort in. If we put effort in, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost will reward us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى, that a man will only get that what he strives for. So we should strive. This is the main thing. This is the main thing we should put effort in. Whether we come first or second, this is an achievement. And we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We put effort in. We should be proud of ourselves. However, if we haven't come a number, then don't be disheartened. The main thing is next year, put more effort in. Or from today on, put effort in the holidays. This doesn't mean the holidays have come now. The Quran is shut for 2 months. We don't open it again. So we should make an effort. And as I mentioned, that if we haven't come a number, don't be disheartened. So I'll start, inshallah, with the boys' classes. We'll start, inshallah, with the hifz class. Brothers are requested to not record. Mawlana has requested no recording. So, JazakAllah khair. If you have recorded, then politely delete these recordings. Mawlana, JazakAllah. First position in Hifz class is Qasim Chowdhury. MashaAllah, Allah accept. Second position in Hifz class is Ayan Alam. In the Saturday class, Hifz boys, on Saturdays they have extra classes for their kitabs. First position, there were two boys who came first. First position, Yusuf Muslim. And first again, Ahmed Boudi. Second position in Saturday class Hifz was Mubarak. MashaAllah, Mubarak is very young and in Hifz class. Allah accept his efforts. MashaAllah, moving on. Now we move to my class, the Nadrawi's class. This is a very big class, so whoever attained the position, mashallah, through your efforts. First position, Rehan Khan. Second position, Adam Patel. In the second group in my class, first position was Las. And second position was Izan. MashaAllah, Allah accept everyone's efforts. As I said, if you didn't come a number, not to be disheartened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our efforts, and next year we can work even harder. Finally, in the foundation class, group one, first position, Aman Mughal. Second position, Aidan Amin. And the second group in the foundation class, first position, Farhan, I believe is absent today. Absent. Second position, Ashraf Abdullah. Absent as well. Both of them absent. Absent. And this final award for the boys, mashallah, this is a reward that we should all try and attain. 100% attendance. Many a times we should ask ourselves that we want to miss madrasa, and is there truly an excuse for us to miss madrasa? Many a times you just compare it with school. If you can go to school, then there's no excuse for us not to come madrasa. So many a times we feel lazy, full day at school. We should try come, even if we're ill, even if we're sick, at least come for a portion of the day, at least half an hour, 45 minutes. This is an award I mentioned last year as well, that every single student should try and attain 100% attendance. MashaAllah, this award, it goes to Suleiman Afdal. MashaAllah. As Mullah has also mentioned, this is the best award. From next year, we should all try. And some of the excuses, mashallah, that the students come up with, I think I could write a book, and at the end of the year, I could publish it. That's how many excuses, mashallah, we have different excuses every single day. I'll just run through the girls' classes now, just very quickly. In the Qaida class, first position, Roya Faiz, and second position, Halima Haq. In the Amma class, the first position, went to Hanifa Udufin. And second position, went to Nur Jahan Ali. In the Amma and Hafidha class, first position went to Hafsa Uddin. And second position went to Nadia Diyat Ali. In the Nadhr Akhlas, the first position, the first position went to Fatima Jawhar, and the second position went to Maryam Hussein. And finally, in the Hifth class, for the girls' side, the first position went to Safa Uthman, and the second position went to Sidra Uthman. So, mashallah, as I mentioned, for those of us who came first and second, as Mullah also mentioned, that we attained the reward, we attained because of our written exams, but more importantly, we should live a life of amal. We came first, for example, we came first in our du'as, so now we should be first in our du'as practically as well. Leave the masjid today, read the du'a, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlika wa rahmatika. On the way home, you can read the du'a, subhanalladhi sakharana, all of these du'as we all know. And for those of us that came first and second, we should know them even more. Why? Because we came first. So it's time today, all of us make an intention that we're going to live a life of amal. From starting from today, we're going to try and attend the masjid for salah. We're going to pray our Quran daily. And we're going to live a life just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to live his life. So I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our efforts. I thank Mawlana again for taking time out to come. Just before we conclude with the dua, just a few announcements I'd like to make. Firstly, if any of us are interested, or we have friends who want to, family who want to join the madrasa next year, they can inquire with the admin, with the office, and they can take a form today, inshallah, and they can apply. Secondly, in this masjid, alhamdulillah, for the past few months, we've started new programs, so we can cater for everyone. For those of us that do homeschooling and want to do hifz class during the morning, we also have this now. So if any of us do homeschooling, or if any of us are adults, and we want to do hifz class during the day, then we also have this. It's taught under certified teachers. So we have this also. Another, the third program we have in this masjid, alhamdulillah, is weekly. I believe 2 days a week, we have an adult tajweed class. So as adults, many a time, maybe we don't recite the Quran how it should be recited. And this is nothing to be embarrassed of. Rather, this is something which takes courage to come to the masjid and to learn with the imam. So this is something we should also take up for parents if you want to improve our tajweed. Alhamdulillah, we already have around 6-7 brothers joining. So if you want to join, we can do this also. And we also have the same program for the women. So if any ladies want to join also, I believe on Wednesday mornings they have it also, they can apply. And also, in this masjid, alhamdulillah, we have regular programs. For example, every Saturday, after the Asr Salah, after the Maghrib Salah, we have the Dars of the Quran. In the holidays, we have no excuse. In the holidays, we're all free. We should try and make time, we should attend these programs. It's very sad sometimes we see that all of these programs, effort goes in these programs, especially in the Dars of Quran, and we see that hardly anyone comes. And this is something which is we should think about, that the masjid is offering a service, and we're not taking benefit of this service. So in the holidays, I'd request all the parents that Saturday evenings, mostly we are free, we're not doing anything, no one has work, try and attend the masjid. We also have youth programs we have been doing once a month since the month of December. So all of these programs, inshallah, we'll send them out, and that encourage all the parents to try and come and to attend these programs. And finally, one point I'd just like to mention regarding the fees. As we all are aware, that just as at home we have bills are going up, similarly in the masjid also the bills go high. This masjid is on rent, so we had to increase the fees. Unfortunately, this is not something we wanted to do, but we are forced to do this. And of course, we all know that the wages go up, and we all know that within our own homes, bills are rising. And we were just working out in the office the other day that when we come to madrasa, and I was dividing the hours up, we pay £1.80 an hour. £1.80 an hour to learn the Quran. Something to think about, that when you go tuition, no one's going to do tuition for less than £15. We go out to eat in the holidays, London Road. With difficulty, we'll spend less than £20. So all of these things we spend, but for the Quran we spend £1.80 an hour. So it's something to think about, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has facilitated, has given us such easy, that all we have to pay is £1.80 to come to the madrasa and to learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the correct understanding, and I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all to the right path. And on behalf of all the teachers, on behalf of the management, I'd like to thank all the parents for sending your children to the madrasa, for allowing us to teach your children the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'd like to, on behalf of all the teachers here, apologize if you think we fell short in any way. You need to understand that all the teachers here, they work during the day. And after a long day of work, they come to teach. And when you have a class of 25, 30 students, sometimes it gets difficult. So at times, maybe we fall short. So I'd like to. So if we feel that we fell short, I'd like to seek your apologies. And I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue to teach your children the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now, inshallah, we'll conclude with dua with one ayah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الرسل وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله فصل وسلم على محمد كما أنت أهله وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت لنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم أعط نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم يا مسرف القلوب سرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتكين مع الإيمان اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتكين مع الإيمان اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم علمنا الكتاب والحكمة وفقهنا في الدين اللهم يا معلم آدم وإبراهيم علمنا اللهم يا مفهم سليمان فهمنا اللهم اجعلنا من أهل القرآن اللهم زين أخلاقنا بالقرآن اللهم اجعلنا من علماء الربانيين اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يعملون على علومهم اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشى ومن عين لا تدمع ومن دعاء لا يسمع اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم اللهم إنا نسألك أن تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا خيرا ورشدا اللهم إنا نسألك أن تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا خيرا ورشدا اللهم إنا نسألك أن تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا خيرا ورشدا وارحم الراحمين forgive our sins oh Allah forgive our major and minor sins whatever sins we have committed intentionally oh Allah forgive them whatever sins we have committed unknowingly oh Allah forgive them oh Allah forgive the sins of our parents forgive the sins of our relatives forgive the sins of our associates oh Allah forgive the sins of the entire Muslim Ummah oh Allah accept our gathering here O Allah, accept the students that are studying in this madrasa. O Allah, grant acceptance to the teachers that are teaching here. O Allah, grant acceptance to the parents. O Allah, grant immense barakah and blessing in this madrasa. Grant immense barakah and blessing in this masjid. O Allah, make it a beacon of light for all those that attend here. O Allah, grant everyone the tawfiq to benefit from this masjid and madrasa. O Allah, those that are local in this area, enable them to benefit from the programs that are taking place in this masjid. O Allah, instill in our hearts your love and the love of your beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, make us complete and true Muslims. O Allah, whatever needs to be adopted in order to become a complete and true Muslim, O Allah, enable us to adopt all those means. O Allah, safeguard and protect us from disobeying you. Safeguard and protect us from doing those things that bring your wrath and anger. O Allah, those that are ill, O Allah, cure them. O Allah, those that have passed away, O Allah, forgive their sins and grant them Jannatul Firdaus. O Allah, those that are suffering in the world, O Allah, alleviate their suffering. O Allah, remove their suffering. O Allah, especially our brothers and sisters in Palestine. O Allah, remove their suffering. O Allah, remove oppression from the surface of this earth. O
O Allah, those of our brothers and sisters that are being oppressed in Palestine, O Allah, remove their oppression. O Allah, whatever means we need to adopt in order for this oppression to be removed from the surface of this earth, O Allah, enable us to adopt all those means. O Allah, enable us to adopt all those means. O Allah, whatever goodnesses your beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has asked of, we ask of all those goodnesses. Whatever evil your beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has seek refuge from, we seek refuge from all those evils. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in amin bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.
JazakAllah khair again to Maulana for taking out his time to attend our Jalsa. Just one thing I forgot to mention. After the Jalsa, the report cards will be handed out to all the students. So if all the parents could go to their respective teachers and collect the report cards from the teachers before they leave, please. JazakAllah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.